As I indicated in the email that I sent out last week, I was kind of hoping that we could identify somebody who could just step in and fill Marlise's shoes. But I can't. Oh, and had we been able to do that, per Allie and HR, and based on our statutory authority, I have the authority, prosecution counsel has the authority just simply to appoint someone. But we couldn't identify anybody, so what I'm proposing is that we open it up, accept applications, and then issue targeted invitations to interview. So one of the things, so I don't know that that necessarily needs council approval. So, I mean, that will be my plan. My question to you all as a group is there anybody, and Will, this is more directed at you because we have no idea who's in your office that's doing sexual assault DV that might, you know, fit the bill, that might be good in this position. So we're looking to you.
Next question.
Okay. All right. So then anybody else, that anybody knows, can think of. I mean, here are the names that we have thrown around. Is Don Emery is in South Salt Lake. I haven't reached out to her. I don't know if she would be interested. Blair Wardle, who instructs or and has a lot of experience. She doesn't have lots of experience, but she,
Bob,
yes.
Bob, you broke up after you said Blair. And then we didn't, we had kind of static for the next 20 seconds.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Is it any better? Okay. So yeah. Let me go back. So, we thought of Blair Wardle, because he is trained for us. He's on our basic faculty. He's been through a train the trainer. His challenge is, and he lives in Tremonton. And so that will go into an issue of telecommuting that I'll bring up in just a couple of minutes. The next one that we thought about is Dominique Katipas. She's also on our basic faculty. She has been through train the trainer. While she doesn't have a lot of years experience, she has done a lot of domestic violence and some sexual assault. And is, let's see, you know, would be a good fit in our office. Shane Clank, who is the chief criminal deputy in Iron County, is on our basic faculty, lots of experience, train the trainer would be a good fit. Even Rob Van Dyke, somebody suggested, would be awesome, which he would. Rob lives in Kane County in Kanab, and I don't know that we could entice him away. But those, let's see, Blair, Dominique, Shane,
Don.
Rob, I wouldn't seriously consider you. Am I still breaking up, Craig?
No, it's better.
Okay, I'm leaning in. I don't know if that's doing anything, but somebody wave me if I break up. Is the problem with three of those four people is they don't live on the Wasatch Front, and so that creates its own set of problems. And so, if we're looking strictly at people that are on the Wasatch Front, I'm just gonna have to open it up and see who we can get to come in and interview. So as I said, I don't know that necessarily needs a council vote, you know, just opening it up, and as I said, with targeted invitations. But if anybody's got any suggestions on people that we should reach out that we're just not thinking of, you know, let us know.
Yeah, Dan Strong mentioned someone, and I'm sorry, I don't remember their name, but I'm going to talk about the person, and maybe okay. You guys can come up with the name. They used to work at Washington County. And she now teaches at, it's not Dixie, but Utah Tech. But she was doing this kind of prosecution before she started teaching.
Is it Susan Hunt?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
She was in Davis County, then she was a prosecutor for the Judicial Conduct Commission. Rob Hunt is her husband. He's a federal defender. I think he does Southern Utah now. And then she was in Troy Rawlings' office for 15, 17 years. Well regarded, but I think they're now living in St. George. So yeah. It's a little closer to I-15 than Rob is, but it's still 4 hours.
Right. Is that who you think Dan was mentioning?
Yes, it is. And I'm sorry. I think when he mentioned Utah Tech, I just assumed that the prosecution had been in Washington County. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's a name that we can add to our list.
And I want to clarify, if anyone from Salt Lake County DA's office applies, great. But I asked, and we are not putting forward any names proactively.
Okay. And so since nobody from your office is on my email list, well, I guess some of them are. If I wanted to, announce this to your office, who would I send the email to for distribution? Would that be you? Would it be Kathy Locker or someone else?
Me, Kathy, or Jake Reyes.
Jake Reyes? Okay. Okay. All right, let me just make a note of that. All right. Okay, so is there a question on how I should proceed otherwise? If not, I'm just gonna open it up. I'll work with Ali and open it up. Probably do two, well, so the problem is we're gonna run into basic prosecutor, so I'll probably accept their applications for 2 weeks or so and then try to do interviews the end of August, first of September after we're done with basic. Oh, I guess I should have mentioned, I appreciate Allie being here. Does anybody have any questions for Allie right up front? Okay. All right, Allie, if you'll stick around for just another second. In terms of the interview panel, my suggestion is it's Marilyn, Tyson, and I, since we'll be working with them. Montgomery has volunteered. Is there anybody else that would like to be on that interview panel from the council?
I'd be happy to if you need another.
Okay. Happy to. Okay, Stuart. Okay. Stuart, too. Okay. All right. So if there's anybody else from the council that would like that, please let me know. Allie, I'm assuming that there's no minimum mandatory or maximum number of people that can be on that. So if we've got, let's see, 3 UPC and 2 council members, so 5 people, that's what we'll go with. As a reminder, what our statute says is that and this is out of 67.5A6, that the director shall appoint resource prosecutors with the consent of the council and consistent with attorney general personnel policies that are not in conflict with this chapter. So what my plan would be is once we get all of the applications and go through them and decide who we're going to interview, I'll shoot an email out to you all just so you know who we're interviewing. And then before I actually extend an offer, we'll run it past you all for any input. Do you want to have a meeting to discuss this, or do you want me to just do it via email? I mean, I realize we're still missing 7 council members, but any for you all that are here, how do you prefer that I do that, email or an actual meeting?
I think you're gonna have better attendance by doing a virtual meeting.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. I mean, it would be a virtual meeting.
Yeah, I don't have a preference.
Okay.
When's our all next right. regularly well, scheduled meeting?
Oh, you know what? Actually, that. That is a very good point, because we will be bumping up to council meeting. Just a second. Council meeting, I want to say it's like the 17th.
It's the 19th. It's September
19th. Okay. So actually, maybe that we'll just do that, is because I don't anticipate unless we find somebody that we want and we want to get it right away, then I'll put it on the council agenda to discuss. Bring y'all up to date where we're at.
And I would just recommend that if you do end up trying to call a separate meeting, that we do it by via a meeting, not via email, just so we can withstand any challenges.
Right.
Sorry, okay. Challenges open meetings.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, all right, I will do that. All right, salary. So, and again, I've got Ali on for, you know, this question as well, is in the past, when notices have come from the AGO, they haven't included a specific salary range. It was just based on experience, but recent changes, the office is now putting what that salary is I sent out 5 years ago, and then I've updated a little bit, and getting some guidance from her on exactly what we can, what the salary range is, whether it's, you know, like 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, etc., or if we list it as a category 3 attorney is this many years and this is the salary, category 4 attorney is this many years and salary. Ali, what is going to be, how are we going to be able to list that? Is it going to be based on the category and what the salary is for that specific category?
We can do a couple things. So the posting in just the title line will have the entire range from, you know, brand new, just graduated to pretty far. So we'll have the full range in just the headline. Then when you click into the job posting, what we've been doing recently is actually breaking down by basically summing up how our salary chart is actually by bar year. But I'll do a grade one, for example. I have them pulled up here. So our grade ones right now are bar years 2021, 2022, and 2023. So that I would just put down 0 to 2 years instead of listing the bar years. I'd put 0 to 2 years, this hourly rate. Grade twos would be 3 to 5 years, this hourly rate, and then it starts breaking into 5-year groupings. So I can do a chart okay. with actual groupings like that, or I can do ranges and say 1 is this range, 2 is this range, 3 is this range, whichever looks better to you, but I can send you a couple options.
Okay. I think it's important that, that we list what the salary is for this reason is on Thursday, I think it was last week, when the OOMPA planning committee got together to plan their conference, one of the prosecutors in attendance asked what the salary was going to be. And when I mentioned what Marlise was making based on her bar, Marlise's bar year, that prosecutor all of a sudden expressed interest that I don't know whether they will apply or not. But, you know, thought that the salary was much lower than it's going to be. So I think it's, I'm grateful that we're going to be able to post the salary, because hopefully that will encourage people to apply. With that said, and I guess this might need a council vote, and so maybe I'll have to do it, whether it's an email or we try to reconvene, is I'm going to ask for some leeway in negotiating salary. Is that if somebody comes in and says, well, I want to make, you know, more than what this person is making, I would like to be able to work with that. And again, the reason why is, so we're down in St. George for the sexual assault course. Marlise is here doing that, doing a fabulous job. And I had told her previously, at least I thought I had told her, that if salary became an issue, please let me know, because I would go back to the council and if I could argue and persuade you all to increase your salary, that I would do that. But apparently I didn't communicate that, because she said that one of the reasons that she is leaving us is because of the salary. Not that she's making more, but I think she's probably making close enough to what she's currently making that this new job, you know, was an enticement to her. And I said, so if you had been making, let's say, even $5 more an hour, would you have even considered? And she says, no, she wouldn't have considered. And so that's, I'm asking for that leeway to negotiate a salary if it's slightly higher than what's, you know, what we're able to offer. And so thoughts on that?
I mean, Bob, you and I have talked about the constraints that we face with UPC being of, but not in, but not of the AG's office, and some of the constraints that are built in there. I like right. the idea of having the flexibility to offer them a little bit more in order to bring it in, but just realize that that's an ongoing constraint. We have to deal with the legislative process and what they are willing to offer, and that's going to always be there. It's not
right.
It's not as easy and cut dry as just offering what we want to offer.
Sure, and I guess I should have clarified that. It would certainly be within reason or whatever guidelines you all want to give me, or if it's just simply what the legislature's given us, you know, then I just have to work with that.
I'd like to hear what they come in and are asking for, I think, a little more before we start deciding here's what we're going to negotiate with, because right now it's kind of a vacuum, I think, other than, and we know where Marlise was. That's not who we're going to attract back. Though, if that's an option, then we should talk about that.
Right. Unfortunately, it's not. I asked her that. I said, so, you know, I said, I'm meeting with the council in an hour. If they bump your salary, will you stay? And she says, don't do that to me. So I think we have lost her. But actually, we have lost her. So what about this? Is do I have the authority to at least in an interview, if somebody asks, is it negotiable? Can I say it's possible, but it has to. I have to take it back to the council first.
I think that's fair.
Agreed.
Okay.
I assume, Bob, if I could, I assume if you tried to go higher, so if you had somebody, say, with more years experience than Marlise, you'd have to do some type of budgetary change to even make that work. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, it's, yes. And I mean, and we do have that in the budget. I mean, I could have increased Marlise's salary, and we could have absorbed that. But yes, if I get somebody that has, excuse me, you know, in the 15 to 20 year salary range. And Allie, I don't know if you've got those numbers available. Marlise was a category 4. She has Tyson, she and Tyson were a year apart. She's a year less than Tyson. They were making $63.48 an hour is what their raise was. And so if we go to the 15 to 20 year, I am assuming that that's going to be a couple of dollars more. I don't think it would be a significant increase, but yes, our budget could have afforded that.
What's entry level at the AG's office now? I've heard several different numbers.
Mm-hmm. Allie, can you answer that?
I think it's 112,500.
That's if they're right out of law school, right?
Yeah, that's the grade 1.
Oh, okay.
First 2 years out. Yeah.
So if we're around 130, we still should be able to attract some applicants that have at least some qualifications.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're definitely not going to get
Allie. Yeah.
I've got a question about prioritizing the Wasatch Front. I mean, I live on the Wasatch Front, as I do know a few people on the call do. It's expensive to live on the Wasatch Front. And I think if there is a remote option, you may have more applicants and more interest than if you have this Wasatch mandate.
Right. Well, and so that takes me to the teleworking issue. Is in light of COVID, the AG has updated its teleworking policy. The one thing that I don't think is insurmountable is it says that they essentially have to be in a
You're breaking up again, Bob.
So the teleworking, is it coming in now? The teleworking policy was updated since COVID, and it now allows for teleworking. The one obstacle, and I don't, it's really not much of an obstacle, is it's offered to those that have been working for the office and have a proven track record. I think I could get, you know, we could get Sean, who's the one that, it's either Sean or maybe it's Craig, to book that. So then the question is like Will saying, it is, if we did attract somebody off the Wasatch Front, can they be strictly telework? I think they can. The challenge will be, though, is that a lot of our training is on the Wasatch Front. And so somebody that lives off the Wasatch Front would have to travel up here. And what the policy is very specific, that any commuting costs are not reimbursable. And so, you know, like if it's a multi-day conference, I think we could put them up in a hotel just like any speaker. But if they had to come up for 8 days training or meetings, you know, we can't reimburse them their mileage, their per diem. I mean, that would just be straight out of their pocket. And so I agree. Well, I think that I would like to open it up to anybody and not really the Wasatch Front. We'll just have to be really clear about the limitations. And Craig and or Ali, do you think that would be a problem to get an exception if we find somebody off the Wasatch Front to offer them telecommuting or working straight out of the barrel with no proven track record in the office?
Well, for the criminal department, that's Spence's, he signs off on those, but all of Dahl's policies can be waived or modified by Sean if he elects to do it. And so that would be, and I think, you know, you could certainly have a conversation with him. I don't think he would unreasonably withhold approval of some flexibility, including going off of the Wasatch Front. But the person would have to comply with the telework criteria, which is, you know, while home, a separate workspace, no dependent care, no age-dependent care, fixed hours, you know, an accountability plan so that you could, you know, have a reasonable way of evaluating the person, semi-annually, that kind of stuff. But
right.
Most of that is answered, right, Greg? If they're working with Bob and company, you know, well, right? I mean, Bob's going to know pretty quickly if they're doing the job qualifications or not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there are, anyway, that can be negotiated within reason. Even the salary, however, I think, again, this is all kind of political with a small p. You could probably go above the bar date a bit, even, you know, even some bit, but if it seems disproportionate to everyone else in the bar date and we're getting compression with the date, then either you're going to lose some autonomy through the council, or there could be other law. You know, I'm not. You know, talking about Armageddon here, but at some point, right. Maybe, you know, the AG says we don't want to house the UPC anymore because, you know, it puts stress on the rest of our salary structure. So there's all that.
Right.
You know, it's the same discussion we have with the county contracts with Children's Justice Center employees in the counties, depending where they are. Some make more, some make less, and we've told them you can pay whatever you want, but if you decide to pay your director $170,000 a year, and you get a $200,000 appropriation, we're not gonna reimburse you extra because you want to pay extra. That's on you.
Right.
So those are the kinds of internal calculations you would have to make with your own staff and with the council, and probably with Spence and Scott Beacom and, you know, the executive decision makers on that. Does that make sense?
So, yeah. Ali, is that something that can be put into the announcement? Is that teleworking may be an option?
Yeah, we can word it.
I think you want to clear that with Sean first.
Okay.
Would you want to limit that notification? Because if you get somebody that lives in Salt Lake County, maybe you don't want to advertise to them up front the teleworking. Maybe you do,
yeah.
But maybe the notification, if you feel like you have reasonable assurances from Sean or Spence, maybe it should just say something like, for individuals that do not live along the Wasatch Front that would like to apply, you know.
Some accommodations may be available or something.
Keep that in your back pocket, but as an option.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think we could, it's like I said, is that would open up, if I said that at least three people that we had talked about. Okay. So I'll work with Ali on that. I mean, Rod, that's a good point. Is is anybody that lives on the Wasatch Front, my preference is that they're in the office as much as possible. And that's the justice section's policy currently as it stands, so that is a good point. Okay, let me think if there's anything else.
It's as far as the pay goes, Bob, just my opinion on that is you have a budget, and I think that you should use your discretion within that budget. UPC and the AG's office have had, I would say, very few conflicts over the years, but the ones that we have, almost all of them have been wage related. And I think everybody here understands that dynamic. You understand it probably better than the rest of us. And I think I would just trust you to make a good decision within the budgetary constraints. To me, it's a bit strange that there's AG's office policies that we do have to comply with and some that we don't. And wage, I'm still not, it seems like wage, I guess, is one that we don't technically have to comply with, but it causes that tension. But everybody should understand that it's a very difficult time right now to hire anyone, let alone someone that has the qualifications that we're looking for.
Right.
So I would take that into serious consideration as you move forward.
And I agree with Rob's description there. I think generally it's been a good relationship. That has been the, you know, one of the areas of some friction, but it hasn't been existential. And I would, I guess that's what I mean. I was mentioned with the proportionate. I think if it becomes disproportionate, then it becomes a little bit existential. If it's just, right. If it's a little bit here or there, I think that's probably workable without a problem. But I would hate to see that become a bottleneck that is not needed if we can get somebody, in the Marleish Tyson range.
Okay, well, that answers my questions. So I've got some guidance, and so I will work with Allie on fine-tuning the announcement as well as figure out how best to convey that teleworking may be an option in a limited circumstance or for, you know, people within a certain radius. I'll work with Allie. So is there anything else? Oh, Marilyn, do you need a, have you taken a roll?
Yes. Correction, council meeting is Wednesday, September 13th.
Oh, 13th. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not in conjunction with fall conference.
Anyway, so have you gotten?
I've gotten a roll. So, if you want me to go, okay. Craig Barlow.
Just state it for the record, please.
In attendance is Craig Barlow, Will Carlson, Stuart Williams, Bob, Dan Burton, Tyson, Karen Walker, Allie Aldridge, Randall McCune, and Rob Van Dyke, and myself.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you. That, like you said, that gives me some direction, and then we will move forward as quickly as we can. Anything else from you all?
Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
As the governor told, who was it? Who's ever replaced J.C. Skinner? You've got a nice pair of size 6 high heels to fill.
And I mean, that's the reality. Marlise just, she was a dispatcher. She was a victim advocate. She was a prosecutor. I mean, she just, had such broad experience that really appealed and related to officers. And so, if we can even get part of that, we'll be lucky. So I will take all the best wishes that you send my way, and hopefully we can find the best person.
Dave.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
have a great day. All right, bye.